Good afternoon. I'm going to call the Senate Committee on Commerce to order. Today we have public hearings and possible work sessions on a few bills. We also have a time restraint today, so we're going to start with the Senate Bill 523 with the understanding that if we're not able to get to the other bills, they'll be carried over to Wednesday, 2 days from today. So with that, we'll start a public hearing on Senate Bill 523 and Mr. Allen, why don't you give us the overview?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 523 prohibits an insurer from recommending a particular motor vehicle repair shop unless requested by the insured, prohibits limiting reimbursement if the insured chooses a non-recommended shop, and requires notice of the prohibition to the insured. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. That's new since the SMS. There is no amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. We have a number of people that have signed up with giving indication they want to speak, so I'm going to give a couple of ground rules if I can. First of all, we're going to start off with Mr. Marr and Mr. Eiselman, and if you have one other person you want to bring to the table with you, you can do that with the understanding that what we're going to do is we're going to try to get an overview of what the purpose of the bill is, how it would work, and then we're going to start into taking testimony. I have a number of people that are showing support for the bill, as well as a few people are showing opposition to the bill. What I'm going to ask each individual to do is to, if you have written testimony, hand that in, and then give us your oral testimony without reading your written testimony. We will review it on our own. And also, please try not to duplicate the same thing you hear from someone else. You can just truncate that by saying I support other testimony that's come in, and give us your personal thoughts so we can make sure we get everyone covered today. So with that, Jack and Jim. And while they're getting up here, one other house rule that we do have, PA system that we have does have interference when you have your cell phone or electronic communication devices on. So if you have some type of cell phone or communication device, I need you to please turn it to the off position, even in the silent or meeting position. We understand that sometimes can distort and cause problems with the PA system. With that, thank you. And Ms. Braun?
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, I forgot to mention that we have two letters on your desk. A letter in support from the Department of Justice and a letter in opposition from Liberty Northwest.
All right. Thank you. All right. Jack or Jim, who's starting?
I'm going to kick it off, Chair Przanski. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jack Esselman of Tonkin Torp. I appear before you today on behalf of Oregonians for Safe Auto Repair, a group of concerned citizens and auto body shop owners who are proponents of Senate Bill 523. Joining me also is Jim Marr, a director of Oregonians for Safe Auto Repair, and in a moment, Jim will introduce to the committee several auto body shop owners and consumers who will relate their experiences with insurers in connection with motor vehicle repairs. To the bill, the proponents seek to add greater specificity to Oregon's anti-steering law found at ORS Chapter 746. Briefly, this law states that an automobile insurer may not require a claimant to have a particular person make motor vehicle repairs as a condition of recovery by the insured under that motor vehicle liability policy. Additionally, the proponents hope that the passage of Senate Bill 523 produces greater transparency to the insurance industry practice of direct repair programs, commonly referred to as DRPs. DRPs are a written agreement between insurers and auto body repair shops. Under a DRP, the repair shop agrees to certain conditions in return for being placed on a list of shops the insurer will refer policyholders to in the event of their policyholders' vehicles need auto body work. Standard conditions that bind DRP shops are a labor rate that is usually below what the shop normally charges in the absence of a referral, and acquiescence of control by the DRP shop to the insurer over particular methods of repair. The proponents of Senate Bill 523 contend insurers do not inform policyholders about the DRP relationship that they have with certain auto body shops. Consequently, consumers do not typically have an opportunity to ask questions that shed light on the particular policies of the DRP shop that might include lower labor rates or other discounts that the shop must absorb to maintain the direct repair relationship with the insurer. Furthermore, the proponents of this bill contend that some insurers violate the spirit, if not the letter, of the current anti-steering law by emphasizing so-called benefits of having work performed at a DRP shop. These benefits can include the advantage of having the insurer's adjuster on-site at the DRP body shop, or they are told that DRP body shop work is guaranteed when, in fact, by law, all body shops are required to guarantee their work. It's the selective sharing of information by the insurer with policyholders that can have the effect of unfair steerage of policyholders to body shops that have a DRP relationship with the insurer. Senate Bill 523 attempts to correct this in two ways. First, it makes clear that an insurer cannot suggest or recommend that an automobile be repaired at a specific auto body shop unless the policyholder requests that referral. Secondly, the bill provides that when insurers do provide a referral at the request of a policyholder, that they deliver a written notice to the policyholder within 5 days that plainly states that the referral was in fact made and that the policyholder under law can select the body shop that that performs the repairs to his or her vehicle. This bill closely mirrors provisions of the insurance law enacted in California and New York. Minnesota law also requires insurers to provide an advisory to policyholders regarding certain automotive repairs. Presently, more than a half a dozen legislatures are considering legislation that would provide similar consumer disclosure, and this bill, as mentioned by the committee administrator, is supported by the Department of Justice. Assuming there are no questions from the committee, I will turn it over to Jim Maher, who will then introduce other members of this coalition.
Mr. Maher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jim Maher. I represent Oregonians for Safe Auto Repair. We're a coalition of consumers and Oregon collision repair owners and operators in Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm here both as a member of the coalition and as an Oregon consumer with some recent experience in this segment of the marketplace, and I'm here to share with you that I, in my opinion, experienced some of the verbal tactics that go on in an effort to dissuade me from the repairer that I had chosen, and I'd be happy to share with you details down the line on those points. Senate Bill 523 furthers Oregon law and gives consumers with a legal claim for the recovery of their losses additional protection. Requiring insurers to notify consumers of their rights under the law and making anything less than reasonable reimbursement illegal will help ensure that consumers receive fair treatment and the appropriate disclosures when they're engaged in this segment of the marketplace. Oregonians for Safe Auto Repair support Senate Bill 523 in its current form, and we ask that you send the bill to your colleagues in the Oregon Senate with a due pass recommendation and give the bill your full endorsement. There are several consumers who traveled here from around the state today, as well as collision repair owners and operators who have come to testify in support of the bill today. And I would like to introduce Mr. Fred Linenko, who owns a shop in Newport, Oregon. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Linenko.
Thank you. Chair Prudansky and the committee members, I'm a shop owner from Newport, Oregon. To give you a brief history of myself, I've been in business there 34 years. We've performed thousands of safe collision repairs, and consequently, we have a real, real understanding of our consumer and our repair process. Since the introduction of the DRP shops, we've noticed a decline in the quality of the repair. We have done some reinspect for customers, noting things like either unrepaired items or items that they paid for in the repair and not being done. This insurance relationship with the shops was geared mainly to save money. The unfortunate fact is, of course, is that that is not the truth. We find that a lot of times the repairs cost as much outside of the DRP relationship, and sometimes even more because we see charges that are made to make up for the discounts in the labor rates and the parts usage. Also, the parts usage is dictated by the insurance industry in some cases. They want you to use cheaper aftermarket parts not made by the original manufacturer. They also want you to maybe not charge them for certain procedures that are necessary to complete a safe and quality repair. We have witnessed many times that we get a customer in that wants to bring the job to our shop or someone else's shop and are directed directly to one of their pro shops strictly because they give them verbiage like, you'll get a guarantee from us, which we know isn't true. Your rates might increase if you use another shop. We hear all kinds of stuff from customers to try to get them to persuade them to go to their DRP facility. We seem to think that maybe other than just the fact that they're getting discounted repairs, I think the control issue seems to be more the issue, in my opinion. They want control of the repair process, consequently can dictate the cost of the repair process. We feel as Oregonians, we should have the choice. We should be able to dictate where our repair is done, not the insurance company who's paying for the repair. That is really our choice as consumers because Oregonians are very, very pro-oriented on consumer choice. And so we want to continue to keep that. And our insurance laws are pretty tough. We have the bill enacted already. We just need to stiffen it up a little bit so we as shop owners can play on an even playing field without the coercion or direction of the insurance industry.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from anyone on the panel? Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and call up my next group of people. What I want to do before I do so, I have one individual that's listed here.
Oh, did you have a question, Senator?
I'll get it later with somebody else. Thanks.
They're here. Who do you want?
Well,
they're here at our beck and call. We don't want to let anyone off the hook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know who the best answer the question, but the bill is drafted. It seems to me, or your testimony, is directed to insurance companies, the person actually who is covering the vehicle. Yet, my understanding is the bill is drafted also includes insurance agents. And I was wondering if that was your intent, or if it does include insurance agents, if that is the intent of the bill.
Senator Beyer, to your question, our intent is whoever is representing the insurance company, it's typically not the agent that does the adjustment, that writes that estimate and authorizes payment of repair, but our bill is aimed at whoever is making that adjustment, to use the industry term.
Senator Beyer, I would have a comment on that. We have a lot of agents in our area whose companies have DRP relationships, but yet they choose us who do not have a DRP relationship to do their own repairs. We have quite a few agents in the area, and they do use us. So somehow that they refer customers from their policyholders, but yet they choose us to do their repairs when it really comes down to getting the repair done on their own vehicles. So we kind of question what that relationship really is and why they even have it then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'd like to have clarification from someone if the language of the bill does require an agent to make the notification or if it is just the insurance company.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, the bill as drafted would bind any agent of the insurance company, so anybody who is operating under the authority of the insurer, in the employ of the insurer, or on behalf of the insurer in connection with the repairs that are required to the motor vehicle under the policy, the claimed repairs under the policy.
Okay, thank you.
And I would just follow up on that. I would assume that when we look in the statutes, the word insurer is somewhere defined outside of this statute that we're looking at where the change would go. And it would seem to me that you could actually have individuals, depending on the size of the market, different people doing different things for the insurance company, could be the agent, could actually do the claims as well if it's a very small community as compared to having a claims adjuster available. So I'm assuming, Senator Beyer, that whoever is acting in the authority of the insurance company is going to be covered by the bill. Is that a fair assessment?
Uh, Chair Pruszynski, yes, I think that's an accurate assessment of the bill.
All right, thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chair, could I vet that out one more time? Because you reeled off a list of qualifications that I don't even know the best lawyers down the hall could have followed you on, but the agent that you were describing that would be working on behalf, would that include, for instance, an independent insurance agent that is not the employee of one insurance company, but is working on behalf of one and maybe others?
Chair Pruszynski, Senator Avakian, I would suggest we probably defer to the definition of insurer under the Chapter 746, which I don't have before me. But the intent, I guess I can speak to the intent of the bill, whether or not this is picked up by the definitions. The intent would be to make this requirement exist upon any individual who is acting on behalf of the insurer in dispensing with the claim, an otherwise valid claim, under a motor vehicle liability policy as it relates to automobile repairs, body repairs.
So what we're going to do is we'll look at, see what the definition is. Y'all can go ahead and step back. And while we're doing that, we'll come back and have a little more conversation on that if we don't have it defined here.
Mr. Chair, yes, go ahead.
Before Mr. Marr gets away, I would like to know, and thank you for your testimony, all of you, I would like to know something more about the circumstances that led you to request this this measure. What happened?
In my personal case?
Yes.
In my personal case, I chose a repairer outside of my insurance company's list of direct repair program providers, i.e. the insurance company's, my own insurance company's list of preferred providers, if you will. And in my case, I found myself arguing for procedures that my repairer was recommending, and that it was my understanding that in other cases were standard elements of the repair. And these procedures on my repair, and granted, Senator, they were cosmetic, they were things dealing with paint matching, but they are standard. I found myself arguing for, and they were denied. In my case, I felt it was an attempt to punish me economically in some way for choosing outside their list. Now, I offer that anecdotally because I certainly didn't pursue it, but I knew the law, and I stated my rights under the law. And in effect, I took the choice away from the insurer. I made my own choice as a consumer. There was never a referral. I went down and was present at the moment when my insurance company wrote the adjustment where they told the repairer what they would pay for under my policy. And I was left in the uncomfortable position of negotiating with my insurance company for what I considered a full repair, or a paying out of pocket for the procedures, or negotiating with the repairer for a discount beyond my estimate. Mm-hmm. And to your question, Senator, I think that it is important for the panel to remember that in many cases, the insurance company that you may be dealing with is not your company. In effect, if I'm at fault, if my car strikes your car and my insurance company's paying for it, you're left dealing with my insurance company, and there's less of a relationship. You become a third party. You're covered under our bill and under the law. But in about half the cases, folks are working with an insurance company that they've never paid a premium to. There is no relationship, and very often those folks feel that they have even less leverage as a consumer in that context.
The example is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
And just for the record, it appears the word insurer is defined under ORS 731.106. Looks like it's a general definition in there. It says insurer includes every person engaged in the business of entering into policies of insurance. So I think one thing that we will want to do if the bill is going to move forward is determine from opponents and proponents whether or not they think the term insurer in the bill is drafted in a way to cover those that it should versus others who may not need to be covered. So with that, thank you very much, gentlemen. I'm going to ask you to step back. I'm going to go ahead and call the next panel up, but before I do that, we have a Tom Brown who's listed as wanting to testify in favor of the bill. He's also has stated he is over 100 miles from the Capitol. So, Mr. Brown, if you're here, if you can just let me see. And where are you from, sir? Madras, please come on up. That's the magic word. Bingo.
Madras will do it.
All right. Madras works for me. And then we'll also call up Neil Jackson and Randy Daigle, I guess it is. Come on up. And Mr. Brown, when you're ready, give us your name, and you can start when you're ready.
All right, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to testify today. My name is Tom Brown. I live and work in Madras, where I've owned the Coachworks Collision Repair for 31 years. When I first went to work in the collision industry, insurance agents were directly involved in the claims process, and oftentimes you had to make a deal with an agent to get work sent your way. That became a questionable way of doing business, and the agents is generally barred from the claims process at this time. And here we are 40 years later, and we've come full circle. Only now we need to make a deal with the insurance company to have them send business our way and to prevent them from steering business away from us. Many of us in the collision repair industry feel it's in the best interest of our customers, the vehicle owners, to work for that owner, not for the insurance industry. A business cannot represent the interest of an insurance company who they are under contract to, and at the same time represent the industry or the interest of the vehicle owner, who is our customer. Today, the insurance bypass the shops who do not enter into a contract with them. They use simple forms of intimidation to accomplish this task, simply implying that there might be a problem if you don't use your people. And I've included a letter from State Farm that is underlined, and it explains just that. A great many customers in the Jefferson County area are told that there's a preferred authorized shop in the Bend Redmond area that you can go to. This is a 1 to 3 hour drive from Jefferson County. However, with the use of coercion, our customers are often bowed to the insurance industry wishes, not knowing exactly what their rights are. Every day in Oregon, all across the state, the present statute, ORS 746.280, is routinely and blatantly ignored. The insurer or the claimant deserves to be informed how Oregon law protects their rights to choose where their vehicle is repaired. This disclosure should be the responsibility of the insurer. The only way to protect the consumer is to modify the existing law as contained in Senate Bill 523. The consumer deserves further protection from these steering practices employed by insurance companies.
Mr. Brown, I'm going to ask you to summarize the rest of your testimony, if you wouldn't, start reading it so we can make sure we get everyone in today.
Good. One particular point I would like to make is that these contract shops are operating for the insurance industry that they are under contract to. An independent adjuster is barred by law from representing both sides of a claim. Excuse me. Yet, the body shops are doing this on a daily basis. They are representing the interest of the insurance company while doing the work for the vehicle owner, and this is kept as a secret. Nobody knows this. Thank you. Honorable Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 523 is vital to the protection of the consumers. Please stand up for the consumers and a free and open marketplace by vigorously supporting this consumer legislation package to your colleagues in the Senate and this legislation. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair.
Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Neil Jackson. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. I'm on the Board of Governors. We're in support of this bill. Mr. Marr's example that he gave about having to dicker with his own company goes on all the time. I bet I get 10 calls a month of consumers calling up saying either that's what's going on, or I've had three calls this month alone where people have said they've been told that if they choose to go to a certain shop, the insurance company will refuse to pay for the repair, will absolutely refuse. If that isn't steering, I don't know what is. This bill addresses that problem, and we urge your support.
Thank you for your testimony. And Daigle?
Excuse me. Hello, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Randy Daigle. I live at 12076 Southeast 104th Court in Clackamas, and I own Lent's Body Shop in Portland. I've been in business, my company's been in business 39 years. I was instrumental in the group that passed the anti-steering law 25 years ago, prior to computerization. Computerization now has allowed the insurance industry, which is great at numbers crunching because that's their business, and they do it very well. But the computerization has allowed them to micromanage the claims process to where when a consumer now has an accident, they're oftentimes over the Internet directed right to a shop where the shop gets the claim, and they pick it up and carry it from there, and I don't even have a chance to bid on it. Now, I do have ERP companies in contracts with my company, as most shops do. Today and age, if you don't, it's extremely difficult to survive. And I'll just tell you two or three stories about two or three companies that I've had DRP contracts with and or some working relationships with. Progressive Insurance, I'll tell you. I did a lot of work for them. They came into me. They went to, I can tell you, five or six shops where they went to Cadell's for a while and then left them. Went to Mackin & Son, left them. Went to CarStar, Bob Thomas CarStar, left them. Came to me, left me. Went to McCollum's, left them. Went to Wentworth Chevrolet, recently left them, and now they went back and made greater concessions and are trying to get back on the program. Here's what happened to me in Progressive. I had a Ranger pickup that had a bent axle. Progressive said, just put a used shaft in it. I said, that's a safety issue. I will not do that. So they took it out then and went and got their own and brought it back. I said, the housing's bent. They said, can't you just shim it to get an alignment and get it out and get it down the road? When I refused to do substandard work at their rates, I woke up one day and it was gone. Took 20% of my business with them. I had no say. Farmers. I know Farmers Insurance Company. I believe that they want up to 50% like-kind quality or used parts. Now, we're in a day and age recycling everything. Used parts, there's nothing wrong as long as they're good quality. But to set the standards that are unattainable, I have seen adjusters with a Mercedes in my shop, and I gave him parts invoices for brand-new parts because there were no used parts available. The adjuster, to maintain her level of meeting the requirements, entered it into their estimate as used parts. Totally fraudulent. And when I pointed it out to her, she said, I have to do that or I'll get fired. Nationwide refuses to pay for certain issues, certain claims procedures on their cars. I've had their adjusters tell me, if I put that on there, I have an email that I will no longer be entitled to advancement within my company. I'll get fired. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? We want you to absorb it, Mr. Daigle. Give it to us for free. I can't do that and maintain my business ethics. I can tell you Safeco has been refusing to even negotiate. They come in, they write their estimate. This is all we're going to give you. And you figure out how to fix the car for that. I'll point out safety items. I'll point out repair procedures. Sorry. I said, wait a minute. You've been paying for this for 30 years. Not anymore. Well, you know, that's not right, folks. And then what happens, I write a letter to Safeco's claim manager, and he writes back and says, and in that letter I said, I understand that I'm no longer supposed to have any clients that have Safeco insurance repair their cars. He says it never happened. Well, guess what happened the next year? My clients that had Safeco insurance went down 85%. They were directed away from me. And because I won't play the games. Now, do I have DRP relationships? Yes. Are some okay? Yes. State Farm's outstanding. Walmanese is outstanding. A lot of them are good. But you have a handful that are putting the squeeze on so terribly that the consumer has nowhere to turn, the collegiate industry has nowhere to turn but to either accept this discounted rate and do a cheap job. Because I just took my daughter down 82nd Avenue to look for a used car, and I was stunned at the amount, I was embarrassed at my trade, at the amount of poor quality repairs. And I asked myself, why? Is it a black eye in my industry? Yes, it was. There's a lot of lethargic, there's people scared. I can't tell you how difficult it was to get people to come testify before you today, because they get blackballed.
I understand.
And I'm gonna probably suffer for being here before you today.
Well, thank you for coming forward. Any questions for this panel, Senator Bordley?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Not a question, just a comment.
Please.
And thanks, Mr. Daigle. Your business is in my Senate district, and I want to thank you for coming forward today and for sharing your testimony and to help us understand more deeply how this is impacting, how this public policy issue we're looking at affects your conduct of business.
It's difficult.
Thank you very much for
being
here.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. Christine Foley, Janet Bain, and Janet McEwen. And when you're ready, if you'll give us your name and your testimony, that'd be great.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Janet Bain, and I've come down today from Portland. I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. I came to give my support of Senate Bill 523 that requires clear communication between the insurance company and the consumer so that the consumer knows that they have the right to choose the auto body shop that they prefer. Just over a year ago, I was involved in a minor parking lot hit and run type of accident. Fortunately, I had two eyewitnesses to the event that were able to get the license plate number and the make and model of the car. Unfortunately, the insurance company that I dealt with, who was actually liable, made it really difficult for me to claim my losses. They claimed that the body shop that I chose to use was not one that they covered or paid out on. And so after many conversations with that insurance company and also a call to the insurance commissioner, I was able to persuade the insurance company that I did know my rights, and they eventually paid out on that agreement. When I heard about this Senate Bill 523, I was compelled to write a letter and also come down here today. I'm in the sales and marketing business, and I depend on my car every day for my work. And I don't want to lose my right to choose an auto body shop to repair my car when I'm in an accident that meets my quality and safety standards. And so I support the bill, and I would also ask you to support it as well.
Ms. Bain, thank you very much. If you'd like, grab a microphone. And
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Christine Foley, and I'm here to ask for your support of Senate Bill 253. And I drove from Newport to speak to you today as I'm a prime example of a citizen who could have benefited from such legislation. Last November, my car sustained damage during high winds at the coast, and in my 20 years as a client of my insurance group, this was my second claim, and this is some of what I was put through. 3 days after the adjuster inspected my car, there was a message at my home saying that a check had been issued by the company and was in the mail along with the company's estimate of repair costs. Since I had not received any prior correspondence, I phoned him for an explanation. At that time, he advised me the amount covered by my company which was significantly less than the repair estimate.
Ms. Foley, I'm going to ask you to just move a little bit from the microphone because we're getting a little feedback, so you don't need to have it quite as close. It's very sensitive.
Okay. The amount that the insurance company was going to cover was significantly less than the estimate from the repair shop that I had chosen. And I asked for an explanation regarding that matter and was advised that it had to do with labor times and materials and supplies. And he also indicated to me at that time that the shop that I had chosen was not part of the circle of dependability. And so at that time, I asked what he meant by that. And he identified another shop in town. And I told him that was one that I wouldn't go to because they have a reputation for providing substandard service. And at that time, he responded to me, that is a matter of opinion. After three weeks of further telephone calls to my insurance group, I was never given a clear explanation as to why we weren't covering the full amount of the repair. My car was eventually repaired at the shop that I had chosen by their criteria and specifications. And only because the repair shop was kind enough to discount some of the costs. So, in retrospect, having been through that, I'm really here to ask for your support on this bill because, I, as a consumer, I'm powerless to prevent this from recurring, really. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Ms. Foley, thank you very much for your testimony. Ms. McElhain?
Chairman and committee, thank you for allowing me to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 523. My name is Janet McEwen, and I reside in Woodburn, Oregon, and I have been a victim of the game that the insurance companies play. My car was hit on the first Friday in January. I finally got my car back March 1st. For 2 months, my car sat at Lace, which the insurance company did not like. I was on the other side of it. It was not my insurance company. It was the lady that hit me, the insurance company that I had to deal with. And for almost 20 days, they drugged their feet. Always had an excuse as to why I didn't have an adjuster assigned, why nobody had looked at my car, and if it hadn't been for the people at Lafe's, I don't think my car would ever have gotten repaired to the pre-accident condition, and that's the way that Lafe's repaired it. And I cannot say enough about how well they do their job in protecting the consumer. If you support this bill, I really feel that no insurance company will have the power to force a claimant to accept its standards for repairs or expenses instead of the way it should be. Thank you.
Thank you for all three of you coming. Don't run off yet. We can find out if there's any questions. You may not be off the hook yet. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would just like to thank all three of the witnesses for coming forward and enlightening us about the experiences that you've had. Thank you very much.
Now, we understand the difficulty of coming and talking to a group of people you never talked to, but your testimony is very important to us, and so we thank you for taking the time out of your days and being here. Thank you. So our next panel is going to be Dave Beetz, Daryl Burkholder, and Daryl Fuller.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, good afternoon. My name is William Beats. I own and operate Beats Auto Body, located in Portland, Oregon, and I have for the past 26 years. I have, after having been in business for so long, we have developed a constant customer base, mainly from neighborhood referrals. One of our customers in particular is Hardy Myers, Attorney General of the State of Oregon. I'm sure that you know of him.
Seen his name around here every once
in a
while.
Have you heard that name?
I think he's
sent
us some paperwork or something.
Ask yourself this question. Why would a high-ranking government official from the state of Oregon, such as Hardy Myers, bring his car to my small neighborhood body shop for repairs? It's simple. Three reasons. Number one, he has heard great things about us from his neighbors and friends. Number two, we are close and convenient to his home. Number three, he knows the law, and he knows his rights under the law. He's the perfect consumer. That's what small business is all about.
Mr. Beach, you didn't give us maybe the fourth reason, because he was in an accident. He didn't get
well, he wanted to see my secretary, I think. I don't know.
Not going there.
No, she's very professional. That's what I'm getting at. Most consumers don't have the luxury of having the knowledge that the Attorney General has. Therefore, even though most consumers know where they want to get their car repaired, they are quickly met with great opposition by the insurance industry, which undermines their legal rights. Senate Bill 523 is a very simple solution to a very big problem. If passed, the consumer will not need to have the knowledge of an attorney. They will automatically be protected under the law. Thank you for allowing me to speak regarding this important matter.
Mr. Beach, thank you very much. And let's see, I guess we'll go with Daryl Burkholder.
Burkhart.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yes. Thank you for having me here today and allowing me to speak. My name is Daryl Burkhart. I have a body shop in Gresham, Oregon. I started about 23 years ago. I was just a body tech that decided to open a shop and kind of followed a pretty simple philosophy that if I would give my customers quality, convenient, and service with that, and generally caring about the customer and the quality of the repairs, that my business would grow and thrive and continue. And I have remained in business now for 23 years based on that philosophy. I've never been very involved in this part of the industry because I've never seen a reason to until I've noticed a substantial decline in my business over about the last 5 to 7 years. I have not chose to come on board with any DRP programs other than State Farm because it asks nothing of me but what I've always offered, quality repair with a lifetime guarantee. But I've been well established in my community. Work closely one-on-one with the customer and built my business based on quality, service, and convenience. So in recognizing a declining customer base, I started researching to try to determine where my clients were going just to hear these same stories that although I felt they were very loyal to my company because of their past experiences, they've somehow been coerced to go to other locations for the repairs. Typically, I'd find this out at a gathering, at a community function, at the grocery store when I'd run into a past client just to find out that they had been involved in an accident. They were steered away from my shop. It's typically due to some kind of wordage that they wouldn't guarantee it if it was done at my location. They wouldn't. The customer may be responsible for additional costs if it's done at my location. There's been all kinds of things. I've even had customers tell me they thought the claim wouldn't be paid at all if they brought it to my location. So my testimony here, or testifying purpose today, is just because I've noticed such a change in my consumer and the amount of steering that's going on in my industry. Even though I've just been focused on business, it's very recognizable that something's going on, and I realize that it's all about the steering that's happening. If the insurance companies were simply referring people, I think it may be a little different. My company's based on referral, word-of-mouth referral, but it's way more than that. They're actually steering the customers away from the shops that don't agree on their price structures or don't agree on how to repair a car based on their procedures. So I felt definitely that it was time I came into something like this, and I appreciate you folks listening to me.
Thank you. Daryl?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Daryl Fuller here representing the Northwest Auto Trades Association today. I believe most of the businesses that have testified prior to me are members of our association. If you're not, I hope they'll come see me after the hearing today and we can help get them signed up. The Northwest Auto Trades Association is a business association representing more than 650 businesses throughout the state, including collision repair, mechanical repair shops, automotive recyclers, and automotive parts distributors. It was a forerunner of our association that actually worked with the legislature some 25 years ago in getting the original consumer right to repair legislation passed, and I simply wanted to state on the record on behalf of NATA that we believe this is a logical extension of that original bill and that we support efforts to ensure that consumers have the right to repair the vehicles where they want to.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for this panel?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Question for Mr. Beach. Where is your business located?
76th and Stark. Right up the street from Flying Pie Pizza.
I know the location.
You know the location.
I'm your state senator.
I do have one more thing to add, if I may. I brought a little note from one of my customers that kind of sums it up pretty well. Mr. Beats, I enjoyed meeting you on Saturday. Thank you for taking the time to look at my Volvo. Unfortunately, when I called my insurance company, I was told that I could not take my car to your shop because you are not on their list. I was instructed to take my car to a shop that is on their list to qualify to get a rental car. Hopefully, you can get on an insurance company's list so that next time I can bring my car to you because you are in my neighborhood. Thank you. Sincerely, Robert Lyons. And I have testimonies here from my manager who's ran my shop for 16 years, and I have several of these letters in my packet here as well that you might want to take a look at.
You can give it to our committee person. They'll distribute
thank
it
you.
To us. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We're going to go into two more panels, it looks like we have right now. Mr. Powell, Mr. Merrill, and Sean Miller. Why don't we do that as one panel? And before you get started, for those who are here on the House bills that we have scheduled for today, I can tell you we're not going to get to them, so there's no reason to wait. We'll just carry them over to Wednesday, as I said at the beginning of the hearing. So if you're here on House Bill 2207, 2248, or 2249, they'll be carried over to Wednesday. Thank you. Whoever wants to start off.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Powell. Before you, were representing State Farm Insurance Companies. Also, I also represent Liberty Northwest that forwarded a letter to you. Mr. Chairman and members, we appreciate the plug from the previous witness, State Farm. We do think that we handle this business with everybody's interest in mind. As you know, we're a tightly regulated industry, and the auto repair industry is not regulated at all. And it creates for us a very difficult combination of needing repair shops to be viable and competitive, at the same time looking after the interests of our insured. And that creates a dynamic that's very important to all of those stakeholders, not just the body shop, not just the consumer, but everybody together. We think that the provisions in this Senate bill are pretty extreme in terms of not being able to say a word. Most consumers, when faced with an accident, have a lot of questions, and for us to have to remain silent until they say something maybe isn't the best way to approach this problem. Secondly, the notice that's to be sent 5 days later by the insurer or the agent is a little bit late in most cases. We think if that's going to happen, it should happen at the body shop at the time of repair or at the time of an estimate at that shop. So with that, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is have Mr. Merle, a claims attorney at State Farm, maybe discuss how they go about their business.
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee, my name is Steve Merle. I'm a claim attorney for State Farm Insurance Companies. I am an attorney for State Farm, but I think it's important that you realize that I've not always worked as an attorney for State Farm. I've been an auto claim representative handling auto claims. I've been an auto supervisor and auto superintendent and team manager. I've done all the jobs that happen in claims. State Farm has the policy that, and we first out of our mouth tell people you can have your vehicle repaired anywhere you want to have it repaired. And I would commend you this letter that was submitted in testimony. It's verifying what I say. At least twice, just looking through this letter, you can see where State Farm reiterates that. We do, however, have relationships with shops. And the shops that we have relationships with, we have made sure they grant our customers certain things. It's a guarantee. In some cases, that they'll pick up and deliver the car. In some cases, that the car will be cleaned before it's returned. That may sound like it's a no-brainer, but that doesn't always happen. We want our customers to receive quality repairs for the money we pay out and to have good relations with the shops and the repair team, but we want to be able to tell them the benefits of going to a shop that has that relationship. If they choose another shop, we're completely okay with that. One of the other things that's problematic in the bill is that it says you can't, it talks about what you can do as far as paying for reasonable repairs. We pay for reasonable repairs, but I think the way it is in the bill would be maybe a question of what reasonable repairs is if you don't go to a shop we have a relationship with. State Farm has a methodology for surveying the market, finding out what the fair price is, and paying that price on our estimates. And if you're going to go forward with the bill, I'd like to see maybe some definition of that. But if you're going to have choice, our whole thing is let's have informed choice where we're able to tell the customers about the benefits of our program. We do not steer. We tell people that they can go where they want to go. This is a complicated issue, and I want to be available to the committee as a resource. I have a number of things I can show you that are probably not appropriate to go over the detail of how we reach prevailing competitive price, what our programs are. But if any of the committee members are interested, we stand ready to help you with those resources and show what we're doing in the market and why what we're doing shouldn't be prohibited.
Sean?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I represent the Property Casualty Insurers Association here today in opposition to Senate Bill 523. I won't repeat what John and Mr. Merle have said, but I just want to say that the provisions within the bill we believe could make it harder for consumers. The provisions requiring the written notice and the limited verbal advice. The days of finding, the three estimates after going to see your insurance agent are largely gone. Most people that are in an accident, call their agent or call their insurance company, and they begin the processing immediately. And their car may be towed from the accident scene or their home as part of the agreements that the insurance company, the services that they offer to their to the insured. Some companies offer a concierge service that allow them to have their insurer manage the entire claim and repair process, then guarantee the results for the life of the insurer owning the automobile. These conveniences and cost savings are placed in jeopardy within the language of Senate Bill 523, specifically the requirement in Section 2, Sub 2, which requires the written disclosure of 5 days, we believe simply is no value to a consumer. Many times, the time it takes to process the claim itself and repair the vehicle could be less than 5 days. And so in that instance, a consumer's supposed to wait the 5 days plus 2 days mailing time to get the written notice before making a decision. In today's society, as busy as we are, the consumer wants to get back on the road as quick as possible, and a lot of the services that we provide provide the good service, guaranteeing that service from that auto body shop and getting them back on the road. With just respect to some of the comments that were before us, some of the comments of steering where they would say on the phone that you cannot take your the automobile to such and such auto body, that's illegal under the current law. You don't need a bill to say that that's illegal. And so some of the instances that you heard behind you are illegal, and we don't condone that. I mean, that is illegal, and you know, I think some of the provisions in this, is, as were stated earlier, I think go too extreme. We are very much support of letting an insurer, a customer know that they have these options under the law. We're happy to say that verbally at the time, but I think it's also important to also provide some advice to that insured who has a lot of questions, as John stated. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Senator Monroe.
Yeah, thank you. I've been listening very intently to all of this, and it seems to me that there's two problems with the current system. One is that some insurance companies are breaking the law, if we're to believe the testimony, that clearly there are insurance companies out there that are flat breaking the law, the current law. The second problem is that a lot of consumers don't know the law, don't know that Oregon law says you can get your car repaired any place you want, and that the insurance company has to pay for it. And that's current law. And so a couple of things. First of all, I guess I should have a little disclaimer here. I have State Farm insurance, and my wife was hit last year. Wasn't her fault at all. She was still when some guy plowed into her. Fortunately, he had State Farm insurance too, so negotiating was no problem. State Farm called us up, said, do you have a place you'd like to have your car repaired? And we said, yes, this and this and shop. And they said, fine, go have them do an estimate on it. We did that. We mailed, faxed them the copy of the estimate. They okayed it. It was all taken care of, which is the way it ought to work. So it strikes me, I guess my question is, would you have any objection to this bill being amended to require, absolutely require, in writing, that any time any insurance company suggests or recommends any shop, that they also, as a part of that, explicitly explain the law that people have the right to go any place they want and have it paid for?
Chair Prasansky, Senator Moore, I think that's our current practice. We don't necessarily say it's the law, but we tell people they can take it anywhere, take their car anywhere they want to have it repaired. And I would have no problem with telling people that. The concern I have, though, is that I would still want to be able to share our programs. And that wouldn't necessarily be a recommendation, saying you can take it anywhere you want. However, if you decide to go with one of our program shops, here's the benefit. The customer at that point could ask, for names of program shops, and we have a shop locator program that, depending on where they ask, close to home, close to work, will help locate one that's on the program. I would still want to be able to do that.
Yeah, and the question is not so much aimed at State Farm as some of the other practitioners that we've heard about that maybe aren't doing that. And would you have any objection to requiring that all insurance companies, at the time they recommend or suggest any particular shop, also have to be required by law to notify the people of what the law is, that they have a choice to go to any shop they want?
Chair Prasansky, Senator Moreau, State Farm would have no objection to that. I will let Mr. Miller speak to his members.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Monroe, that is a very good question, and I think it's something that I think other states have looked at, and I know when you and I had spoken about this, just understanding the law is very important, and I think there is language from other states, I know Arizona in particular, where it does state that if insurer recommends or provides information, that they also inform the consumer of their rights at the same time of making that recommendation. So it's exactly what you're saying, explaining to them that they have the right to repair at any repair shop they feel, but also still allowing them to at least share with them their programs. I think both are as equal as important, and I don't think I would have, and my association would have any problem with that requirement. I think it's what is done today. The carriers that I've talked to that say that in their opening remarks, that's the first thing they say to a person who calls. But I think if that's something that the committee wants to entertain, I think we would we'd be willing to look at that.
Senator Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a note to Senator Monroe, I think that's already the law. If you look at the bill, Section 1 and subsection 2 says just that, and that's existing law.
Oh, there's signs.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at the copy of a letter that we have on the State Farm Insurance Company's letterhead. I'm not sure who provided this to us.
Senator Pazansky, Chair Gorley, I'm not sure which one of the witnesses is. I think it's a gentleman from Jefferson County. It's got a Redmond address, which that's Deschutes County, just below
okay.
Jefferson.
Thank you. There's some language here that I'd like to ask you about. There's some language in the third paragraph that says, these repairers may perform quality repairs on your vehicle, but may charge prices other than the prevailing competitive prices determined in your market area. We will work with these repairers as best we can. However, circumstances could arise in which we may not be able to assist you as effectively as we could with Service First and or Select Service repairers. What does this language mean exactly? What are the circumstances that might arise?
Chair Pazansky, Senator Gordley, just to kind of explain prevailing competitive price a little bit, what that is a State Farm does a survey of the market of all the shops that will respond to us in a market area to see what they're charging, and we see what the majority of the repair capacity in that market will charge, and we determine that to be the prevailing competitive price. What I think happened in this particular instance with this letter was the person probably did not have a shop in mind, and so we wrote the estimate at prevailing competitive price not knowing where they were going to go and paid them accordingly and are explaining that's how we paid it. Specifically, when you're getting to the paragraph where it says we may not be able to assist you as effectively, I'm not sure exactly. There's a variety of circumstances that could arise where we wouldn't be able to assist them as effectively, but I think what you have to keep in mind is with the Service First agreement, the shops have contracts of things that they will do for us, and they're committed to do it. And with somebody who's not a Service First agreement shop, they don't have that contract with us, and so we don't have as much authority to deal with those. It's more of a contract between the person who owns the car and contracted from the repairs, as opposed to us having some sort of agreement that we can help them with.
Is the language that I read to you, the language that I'm looking at, is that language standard for a claim letter, such as this one, which was issued in October of 2002?
I'm not sure who is chair now, but I will just answer Senator Gordley directly. Okay.
Go ahead.
Chair Beyer, Senator Gordley. It is standard for that situation where a customer does not have. This letter would be for a customer who has received an estimate but hasn't told us they selected a shop.
We're looking at the same letter?
Yes.
That, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Any questions? Senator Buckin?
Perhaps you could talk in a little bit more detail about why you have particular shops you send people to anyway. I don't fully understand the practice of doing that.
Chair Beyer, Senator Mackey, we don't. State Farm does not have shops we send people to. We just have, the reason we have relationships with shops is we try to get things for our customers like a guarantee, like some sort of commitment of cycle time the car comes in and comes out, and those types of things, and that's why we have those relationships. We don't send them to a particular shop. It's ultimately the customer's choice. We just explain those things so that we feel our customer can get a better better repair, or not better repair, but a better service, I guess, is what we're after.
May I?
Yes.
You've got a relationship with particular shops. Somehow, at some point in the process, you communicate to your insured what shops you have relationships with. I'm guessing, or there would be no benefit to having the relationship, right?
Chair Beyer, Senator Mackey, yes, we do at some point. It's generally up front when people are first getting the claim going and getting the repairs underway.
Okay, and then, so I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So you're doing that solely in order to have some type of an additional added benefit to your insured?
Chair Beyer, Senator Mackey, that's correct. It's a service-oriented program, not necessarily that it's to give them the best service we can. And we have that relationship. We have some guarantees of service out of the shop.
Well, then, and my last one, could you describe the process at which your company goes through in deciding who makes that list and who doesn't?
Yeah. Chair Byers, Senator Mackey, and I have to kind of be careful when I do that because we're in the process of not too distant future adjusting that program. But basically, as it exists today, we send out an invitation to all the shops in the area saying, here's the service first criteria, what you have to do to be on the program. Are you interested in applying for the program? They'll apply for the program. We'll look at things like they have to have certain minimum equipment that would enable them to do repairs. And our experience with that shop, if that shop has been a shop that gives good customer service, all those types of things we take a look at. And if that meets together, then we add that shop to the shop we have a relationship. We currently probably have more relationships with more shops than any other insurer does.
Any other questions?
Yes. Can you say something more about the criteria? And is there a document that you can provide that details the criteria for selection? And how often is the criteria changed? And what has that process looked like over a period of time, say 10 years?
Chair Byers, Senator Gordley, I can do that. Like I said, the process is in the middle of changing that process. I can provide you both what the criteria is under the old program and what it will be under the new program. In the last 10 years, it's remained fairly stable for State Farm as to what that criteria is.
And the new program criteria will be completed when?
We actually have that criteria now, and I can supply that to you. If people are interested, I also have a presentation of what that entails and when it's rolling out and why we're doing it.
The other question I have, again, I'm looking at the letter. What if you just took out in the third paragraph, you just said you are free to select repairers who do not have Service First and or select service agreements with State Farm, period.
Chair Byers, Senator Gordley, we could do that. I guess the pushback that we have, and even somewhat on the regulator side of the thing as far as the insurance industry, we have more problems with not so much people perceiving that we're recommending or steering shops. We have people with problems who say, gosh, I wish you would have told me something about the shop because I wouldn't have my vehicle fixed there. And I guess that's why we've written that letter that way, is we've people who come back to us saying, you didn't tell me more about Service First, and I wouldn't be in this situation if you had.
Senator Vakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's been testimony from several people around this notion that under the law you get to choose whoever you want to take your car to get repaired. Is it your company's understanding that means you have to pay for any place that they decide to take it, or is there some other type of a standard, like a reasonableness standard, that you get to go through before you decide whether to pay or how much to pay?
Chair Byers, Senator Vakian, it's not my understanding we pay whatever a shop charges. They don't have an open checkbook. What State Farm has used, this has typically been a market-oriented solution, which not every insurer follows this, is what I mentioned before, is prevailing competitive price as far as the cost of things. When you're looking at whether a part needs to be replaced or not, or how what it needs to be replaced with, there are different industry standards that... dictate, like I think iCar is one of the places where they talk about how you should do repairs, and that's kind of we just deal with the shop, work with the shop. We have a high degree, I think, of satisfaction with the shops, mm-hmm. with State Farm in doing it, but that's kind of how it's done.
Is that done at the adjuster level?
Chair Byers, Senator Vakian, it'd be a combination at State Farm. We have people who specifically are estimatics people who go out and deal with cars. They report back to claim representatives who make claim judgments, but the estimatics people are the people who deal with the shops, and they have a high degree of training to be able to know what should be done and to communicate with the shops.
Okay. Mind if I go one
no,
more?
No, go ahead.
Thanks. With respect to I forgot what you call them, but the companies that are on your list that applied and made your list, and ones that are not. When estimates come in from those two different groups, do they go through the exact same process and evaluation or a different process?
Chair Byers, Senator Vakian, it's probably totally different, and it's maybe a little bit different than what you're going to see in the market. If you're one of the shops that's on our list, we have an agreement with you that you write the estimate. We reinspect to make sure you're treating us honestly. And we pay off of their estimate. Their estimate comes in, it's uploaded. If there isn't something that's radically wrong, we don't even talk to them about it. We just pay it. In the market that where you're not part of that program, what developed in the metropolitan areas over the years was more the insurance company writing the estimate, the shop taking the estimate, comparing it to the damage, and then talking to us if something was missing or they felt like they needed to have that something added. And that's the type of format that follows in the metropolitan area. There are some areas in the rural areas where we do not have enough staff and personnel to be able to write that estimate, and that will be a competitive bid area where you still do go through getting more than one estimate and submitting that to State Farm. And the metropolitan area is just very rare that shops write their own estimates that we end up working off nowadays.
And what's the reason for that in the rural areas?
In the rural areas, we just won't have enough staff to be able to go out and write an estimate.
So the insured has to submit more than one estimate?
Generally, he'll get a competitive bid, yeah.
Senator Monroe.
Yeah, person decides to have their auto repaired at a particular shop that's not on your list, and that shop comes up with the cost, what it's going to cost, and you don't agree with it. What happens?
Chair Beyer, Senator Monroe, what will happen is, if you see this letter here, first of all, we ask the customers to share the estimate with the shop so they can look at it. If they have a disagreement, the shops will contact us and tell us where the areas of disagreement are. We'll talk to them and see if we can come to an agreement on what it takes to repair the car.
Okay, and if you can't reach an agreement, is there a state adjuster or a state insurance agency that intervenes or arbitrates or anything like that?
Chair Beyer, Senator Monroe, generally no. And I say generally no because there's two kind of things you're dealing with. One is contract coverages, which is typically collision or comprehensive. In that case, our regulator can take a look at us and make sure we're you know, following some protocols. There will be some disagreements that they're not able to resolve, and they do not act as an arbitrator in those. They may talk to us to see if they felt like we were doing something wrong or not, and the regulator typically involves. In the liability area where you've damaged somebody else's car, it's what you're legally liable for that dictates what you get paid, and those are typically resolved in court.
Okay.
Further questions?
And Chair Beyer, if I could, too. There is also in most automobile policies an appraisal provision where you have a difference in disagreement of the value. What will happen is the insured will select one appraiser, will select another, they'll select a third party, and that process determines the amount that's owed under the collision and comprehensive where we actually have the contract with you.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you. We'll now have Lana Butterfield, Rick Kingsley, and Brian Miller. And that's the last people I signed up to testify in the bill. If there's anyone else who'd like to testify after this group, please let us know. Thank you. Go ahead, Lana.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lana Butterfield, and I'm here representing the Professional Insurance Agents of Oregon, Idaho. And my job is easy. It's simply to introduce Rich Kingsley, who will give our testimony for us.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name again is Rich Kingsley, an independent insurance agency, and I own the Kamak Kingsley Insurance Agency in Staten, Oregon. I'm here also representing the Professional Insurance Agents of Oregon and Idaho. I have served as president of the association, and I'm currently on the Government Relations Committee. Professional Insurance Agents Association of Oregon and Idaho is a statewide association that has members all over the state. They sell more than one company, and they try very hard to give exceptional service to our clients. The Professional Insurance Agents of Oregon and Idaho is opposed to Senate Bill 523. While attempting to control insurers, this bill would burden our members with extra expense and duties when the agents are not part of the problem. Independent agents do not get involved in preferred provider arrangements, yet under the agency law of the state of Oregon, we would come under the provisions of this bill because we do represent companies. However, we do not adjust for companies. If various companies have such arrangements, We don't know who they have the arrangements with, so we can't recommend them. Our companies don't ask us to represent them. I mean, to recommend those body shops. Many of our companies have 800 claim service numbers. Yet after one of our clients is in an accident, he'll call the 800 number, then call us back and say, okay, I just reported the claim to the company, and now I need to know what the next step is. Where do I take my car and get it fixed? We tell them they can go anywhere they want. And 9 times out of 10, the people that we're dealing with, either they haven't had a claim before, they haven't had a claim for a long time, they're new to the area, or they don't know any body shops in the area. So if they ask us again and say, you know, we don't know of a place to go and tell us that, then we'll respond as to our knowledge of the shops in the area, how long they've been there, how long they've been in business, their location and convenience to our clients, and if it's of interest to them, how well that shop or one of the shops repaired our car. But we don't do this on the basis of a preferred provider arrangement. Clients expect and rely upon our opinions. And the great majority of these requests come over the telephone. Under Senate Bill 523, we would have to mail out this written statement. It's extra postage, extra time, extra expense, and extra training for our staff. And we can't adjust the claims. We don't have contracts with body shops. And we don't want to have to mail out a written notice when we answer our client's simple question as, what is the next step in the process? Where do we go? I urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 523. Thank you for your consideration. I'd answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Let's hear from Brian first for questions.
Thank you, Vice Chair Geyer and members of the Senate Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Brian Miller, here today on behalf of Farmers Insurance Group. And I guess in conclusion, I'd just like to briefly underscore the seriousness with which Farmers deals with this notion of steering as it relates to auto collision and auto body repair. And I've got a document that I'd just like to quote that is a training document for our adjusters here in Oregon that I think speaks to this particular issue. Again, I'm quoting, "Regarding the repairs to your vehicle, you have the option of selecting a shop of your choice. Have you selected a shop, or would you like a referral of a shop that is a member of our direct repair program?" That's the end of the quotation. The training document goes on to say, "If the customer has selected a shop or is not interested in a referral, do not offer direct repair." So I guess I just want to underscore how seriously we take this particular issue. And I guess with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Thank you, Senator Monroe.
I think if every insurance company did it exactly that way, we wouldn't have a problem. So if there's any way we could codify what you do, that might make a lot of sense. I don't want to prevent insurance companies from talking to their clients about their knowledge of repair companies and so on, but I want to make sure that the law is followed clearly, that everybody that has an automobile accident immediately knows they have a choice. That's the law. And so if we could manage that in this bill, the thing that in this bill that bothers me the most is Section 1, Subsection 2. I'm not tending to be in support of that. Most of the rest of the bill, and then the notification, the written notification, I'm not sure that has to be in there either. Could be oral, which it says. So anyway, I have an interest in this bill. Currently, clearly the current law is not working well for everybody. Clearly, a lot of people are getting pushed around by insurance companies. And so if we can craft this bill in such a way as to restrict and limit that, I'd be interested in moving forward in that direction.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify, did not sign up to testify? Being no one, committee is closed works public hearing on Senate Bill 523, and the committee is adjourned.
Okay.
Welcome.